We are back once again with the Mike and Mike off-air podcast.
Hey.
Now, it's off-air, so we can say things that we can't say on-air, is that?
That's apparently the deal.
Well, I don't know if we'll go there today, but maybe we will at some point. So
throw your water bottle at me. You might get that response. Try that later in the podcast. We'll see.
I got to tell you where the catalyst of this topic came from.
Okay.
So this goes back to the pandemic.
Right.
The valedictorian from our high school graduating class knew everyone was doing more stuff at home, kind of feeling a little lonely. So he reached out to many of us, said, hey, I've got this YouTube channel. I want to interview everybody from our class and put it on the channel and then see if it goes somewhere. Really took off to the point that the school now is asking him to do that with all the classes, not just ours. So he's got some more stuff on his plate. But he would always ask the same set of questions of everyone. And the last question that he would ask is, do you have a motto or words you like to live by? And I always have, I shouldn't say always, I have for the longest time, but it got me to thinking, if he's asking that question of everyone, and I never thought about this, maybe almost everyone has a motto or something they like to live by. So I've got a few that I kind of threw out to him, and one that I've adopted a little bit more recently. I kind of sprung this on you, so I'll give you my first one and kind of let you know where it kind of came from. Always, anything worth doing is worth doing to the best of your ability.
Hey, you've got one of mine.
Oh, really? Okay. Did we cheat off each other?
No, but that's you. You please continue.
Multitasking is a myth. You cannot do more than one thing at a time. Walk and chew gum being the exception, obviously. But as far as like something at work or doing a project, you can't mow the lawn while doing the dishes.
No.
So while you're mowing the lawn, and I tell my son this all the time because he's the one who I've tasked with mowing the lawn every once in a while for me. Since that's the only thing you're doing right now, why not do it to the best of your ability, to the point that when you're done doing whatever it is you did, you take a step back. Literally, my wife laughs at me when I do this. When I mow the lawn, I will walk across the street to the neighbor's yard, walk on the sidewalk, and just look and, yeah, that looks good. I did that.
Yeah.
I put the work in. I'm happy with what I did. And I know you probably do the same thing with commercials that you write and produce. Once it's done and it actually gets to the point where it sounds to everyone else the way it sounded in your head before you wrote it, before you produced it, it's like, yeah, I did that exactly the way I wanted to do it.
Yep. Especially if I wasn't lazy and I didn't forget, you know, if I put this one sound effect in, it'll really take it to the next level. Yeah, it'll take a little longer and it might be a pain in the butt, but you know what? It will make it work better. And like you said, when I hear it, I'll be like, yes.
And even if nobody else pats you on the back, and I know typically many people in the building do, especially here on the sales side, because that's their client. You're making them sound good. You're making them look good. So they appreciate it. So even without that pat on the back, I know there's that sense of pride in, this is like a major market sounding commercial, and it all came from our building.
And in fact, when you said that this particular slogan, it reminded me of something that happened my freshman year of college. The whole freshman class, it was a very small school, were sitting in the same room, and this one student in our class was such a smart aleck, and we were at the age where smart alecks were starting to look pretty immature. And
there's a point in life when that happens?
Yeah, it does.
Oh.
I
haven't gotten there yet.
The biggest nerd, intellectual nerd in our class, turned to this guy who had said the umpteenth dumb thing of the day, and he turned to him, his name with the guy, the subject of his wrath's name was John, and he goes, John, oh God, you're so mediocre. And I just busted out laughing because, without using a single curse word, he just said, in my mind, the worst thing he could have said about him. And I was like, yes, right on.
That's and if exactly. He had said a curse word, we could have actually repeated it because, once again, we've been told we can say anything. So.
But I clearly get you. I bring my best to everything because I have to look at it. And if I'm not like, oh, that you brought about half of you to that, then I won't be happy with it. And I do most of the things I do. Even if it's for my wife or other people, I want to be able to look at whatever that was and think, I kind of kick butt at that. That's nice. And then move on and leave it alone because I don't like to look over my shoulder. I don't want to have reasons to look over my shoulder. When I was younger and made decisions that I wasn't proud of at times, I was looking over my shoulder, and that's no way to live. I want to be able to live walking straight ahead and know that nothing's going to come to get me.
That's one of the reasons a lot of times I'll triple, quadruple check things that I do so that no one has to check me after the fact. And I never take offense if anyone does.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust me half the time. I mean, there are things that I have to do here in the building when I get here first thing before the show starts at 6, looking at different studios, do different things, and I always at least double check everything I have to do because there's that one time you don't and something didn't copy over the right way or something was labeled the wrong way, and then it gets back to one of the program directors, and I was like, yeah, but that's kind of on me.
Let's be clear, too. That's the goal.
Yeah.
I do my best to do that. I don't always hit the mark, but if a friend of mine and the friends I have will call me out, and that's why they're my friends, then I'll be like, yeah, you're right.
Well, let me
ask
you.
And then I'll go back and fix it.
As a parent, because your kids are much older than mine,
yep.
How do you instill that in your children? Again, because we can say anything here. They will half-ass their way through things at times. And again, they're kids. My son is 14. My daughter's 11. It's about, I want to get this done quickly so I can jump back on the Switch and play or start texting friends of mine. How do you instill that in your kids? I'm trying to, again, with my son, and my wife is with our daughter and vice versa, but how do you do that?
Well, kids are kids. They're going to make mistakes, and they're going to try to ease you around.
Yeah.
Number one, walking the walk that I talk. I have to lead them there by example. If
gotcha.
I can look at my life, and I know you live like that, but if I live my life the way I'm telling them they should live theirs,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not living it, they're not going to believe it. They're not going to buy it. I've learned I can't yell anybody to my way of thinking. I can't badger anybody to my way of thinking, but I can lead them. And the best way to lead them is to live the walk that we're talking and hold them accountable lovingly. Holding them accountable lovingly. Not, you're screwing up. You're deaf. Because
it doesn't work.
No, we can't. No. I can't always find problems. I have to remember to find, hey, Sean, you really did a good job on that this time. So if everything I say isn't just a reprimand, you know.
So the positive reinforcement.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But hold them accountable lovingly and lead the way.
Is there an age that kicks in? Because it hasn't happened at 14 and 11 yet. So maybe when they're old enough to drive, possibly.
Yes. As I watched the teenagers, them hit the teenage years, and me slowly but surely appear more irrelevant and stupid in their eyes as they got older into their teen years. And then that was a thing for a while. And then I remember my oldest daughter, when she turned up 21, 22, something came up. I said something to her that I've probably said 1,009 times before. And rather than roll her eyes and go, oh, she looked at me like I was the oracle. And I was like, really? This time it took? And then I was smart enough not to get in my own way. But it was like, wow, really? Now? Okay. Maybe she's growing up. Cool.
So that's the first one I have. Anything worth doing is worth doing to the best of your ability. The other one, again, I've lived my life by for years and years, kind of sounding the same way. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. And take that all the way through. If it's not worth fighting for, it's not worth having.
Yeah.
So it helps me figure out the difference between a need and a want. A need is something that when it comes to it, you know, whatever it happens to be, are you willing to fight for this?
You're ascribing value to it.
Yeah, that's a need then. If it's like, that's not a battle worth fighting. Okay, that's more of a want. I don't need to have that. And I try to, again, live that way. Try to realize, yes, there are creature comforts I would love to have. I'd love to have a new Tesla. I'd love to be able to go to Disneyland every other month. You know, a lot of the things I would love to have are financially based, but it's realizing, okay, that's fine, but we can have fun as a family. We can do something together that doesn't involve that. Tulare County Fair is coming up. We will have a family day at the Tulare County Fair and enjoy that, or go to the Fresno Chaffee Zoo.
We had so many amazing fair days growing up when my wife and we had similar parents' friends for a long time. For whatever reason, so many of our friends, they got divorced and then they just kind of go away and you lose those friends. But mm-hmm. when they were married and together and their kids were all the same age, we ended up with so many wonderful fair days where each of the moms was taking care of they were all taking care of the kids together, and the dads would meet up after work and we'd go have dinner and just, I mean, 10, 11, 12 of those in a row probably. And I mean, yeah. And those days don't cost that much
mm-hmm.
if you're smart about it. Yeah, those are the good times.
Just to piggyback on one thing with that before we get to your next one, I also apply that to relationships.
Yeah.
So if it's a friend of mine that I truly need to have in my life, that's a friend I'm going to fight for, not compromise who I am for that friendship, or in talking about a relationship as well, that's more than just friendship, realizing, is this a person that I'm willing to fight for, or someone that, based on what they're doing and how they're leading me, maybe that's not something worth fighting for? And you have to assess that. And we've had that conversation before. Sometimes at points in the relationship, you have to say, you kind of got to do your own thing now. I can't be a part of where you are right now. I'll pray for you, but that's about all I got. And then at some point, you hope that person comes back into your life, if yeah. it's meant to be.
It's true. It's true. It's true. And my wife and I have talked about this. We've been together 30 years. And so, yeah, we haven't been single in a minute. But when I was, I wouldn't even date. I was not a big dater. I wouldn't date a girl if looking at her and sizing her up, meaning that, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but just, you know, is this a good person for me? Am I a good person for her? So it's not hedonistic. It's,
yeah,
I'm trying to match values and stuff. And if I didn't believe that there was a real future here, I didn't waste my time or my money, because it wouldn't be good for her and it wouldn't be good for me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so I'm piggybacking onto what you were talking about. My number one is, it's not as spiritual as it sounds. Not today, Satan. And what I mean by that is, if what I'm being asked to do is wrong, or the urge is hedonistic, or not in my best interest, or in the interest of those around me, no, I'm not doing it.
Okay.
And so that's what I mean by that. That's kind of my number one goal. Is this good for me? Am I going to regret this? Is this going to be bad for me? Is this going to be bad for the person I'm with? Is this going to benefit me in any way? Is this going to move me forward? If the answer is no, not today, Satan.
Yeah, it keeps you grounded.
Yeah, and that's my number one. It's simple, but, you know, and my number two was your number one. So I got two in already.
One last one that I kind of have adopted a little bit more recently, and it's kind of been something I've been thinking about for a while. It sounds a little awkward. It's just three words. Be your lie. By that, I mean, if you're lying to someone because of something you were supposed to do, or you lied about something that you didn't do, that whatever it happens to be, instead of lying about that, be that lie. Live the life of the lie you're telling. I have a friend of mine that I used to work with years ago, and he went through a stage in his life with alcoholism that he would lie to all of us, including me. And I was his best friend.
Mm.
And I got to a point where I just started thinking, if only he was the person that he lied to everyone about saying he was. I'm like, that's it. Be that lie instead of lying.
An inverse way of looking at that is removing the masks
mm-hmm.
that we put over our faces. All the things we tell everybody we'd like to be, but we're not, and that perfect person that we think would be the perfect me.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I know karate. Hey, I was in a rock band. Hey, da-da-da-da-da-da. No, you weren't. Get rid of the masks, bro. Just be you. Chances are that's going to be more than enough.
Yeah.
Unless you're a serial killer. One I like that's a little bit removed from these, very simple, is I've been married to my wife for 30 years, and we've learned that acceptance and forgiveness are the only ways to get through. And as a result of that, the slogan is, we are more than the sum total of the mistakes we've made. And you can't be fixated, and you can't just look at that. You're a lot more than that. Yeah, if you made a mistake, okay. Forgive yourself. Move on. Tomorrow's brand new. It's a new day. You can be a whole new person today. And mm-hmm. those that love and care about you will forgive you, and it won't matter. So don't let your life just stop because of things that we've done wrong. We've got to rise above it, forgive ourselves, and move forward. And forgive our others. Or you're going to be, your life's just going to stop.
Yeah, you think of doing things like that on birthdays or New Year's resolutions or things like that, but every day is a new day. January 1st is just a day on a calendar. Every day is a new day. Every moment is a new day. I have to remind myself of that. If I'm having a bad morning, say on the air, I'm having a hard time focusing, whatever it is, I had a bad break, I can kind of just like etch a sketch, shake my head. I'm like, okay, bad break. You're not going to have a bad morning. Let's just make sure the next one is incrementally better. And just let's get through the day, and then hopefully we'll get better sleep tonight and we'll have a better day tomorrow. But let's try to work on what we can work on today.
I like that. Well, that's what I got.
That's what I got.
Well, let's do this again. And can I just thank you very much for listening? We really appreciate you.